Good morning, everyone. So I was reading on Twitter this woman, Jenny, aka at MotherRunner85. She says, "I walked out of nursing after 15 years. One day I woke up and I knew God was within me. I knew about Big Pharma, and within 1 week I quit. 15 years is a long time to poison children and humans. Some days are harder than others, forgiving myself one day at a time." And in this thread, you can see it in my Twitter right now. And in this thread, there's just so many heartwarming studies, stories from other people who've stepped out of, especially nursing, and woken up to the role of Big Pharma in nursing. And it's really heartwarming to see. So here's the thing that this makes me think of is how much we allow ourselves to be corrupted by that paycheck, right? They tell us, like, you need a job, you need that solid paycheck, you need to make money so that you can feed yourself and your family. And then you're asked to do things that conflict with your values, with your morals. This is just wrong. This just feels wrong. And maybe you speak up, maybe you don't. And then, but you still end up doing it, right? Because the pressure is just too great and everybody else, and like, don't rock the boat. And you're risking all of us, and like it makes other people uncomfortable, and you like they are not ready to realize to break through their own self-delusion, etc. And so we end up being morally corrupted. Like, this is everywhere in our society. Like, the only reason that people go along with stuff that they don't agree with is because of this moral corruption, right? I mean, Nazi Germany is a typical example, but also the whole debate around sexual abuse and Me Too and toxic masculinity and all that stuff, right? It is because in that moment, whoever it is not standing up for their moral values. They're not just saying, "Hey, this is not acceptable." They're like, "Oh, I guess I have to suck his dick in order to get a job," and like, that's just how that works. And then they do something that they don't agree with morally. If there's one thing that I wish that I could impart on people, it's that moral courage, right? The courage to stand up for what is right and not go along with what is wrong. No matter the consequences, like, speak up and just say, "This is wrong. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to be part of this. It's just wrong." Right? So, speak up about that and just walk out of it and trust that you're going to be okay. Trust that you're going to be okay. You're going to find a way. You're going to find a way. There's all these stories in this thread about nurses who've quit and then found some way into natural healing. Natural healing is natural. It's real, right? It's like, natural remedies, roots and barks and herbs and all kinds of concoctions, like just healthy diet. There's like, so I had a parasite last year, or last year, and I got some treatment for it, and the treatment was like, it was not good, right? Like, it was not helpful. So I actually went to a doctor and got prescription for something that cost me $1,900 for 12 pills of something, and then I had to take an antibiotic cure after. And had I known what I know now, I wouldn't have done that. I haven't taken antibiotics in like over a decade, is the only time I've done it. I'm not it's a helpful tool, but if it's overprescribed for all kinds of things all the time, then it loses effectiveness. And what it does is it kills bacteria. We need bacteria in our gut, especially on our skin, just in general. We need good bacteria in our body. So when you take these antibiotics, they tend to kill the destroy or wreak havoc on your bacterial culture in your body, which is not what you want. And in fact, I'm still like trying to regain my bacterial balance after that, like a year later. So this is serious stuff. I wish I hadn't taken that, right? But I got taken by Big Pharma. I just like the doctor, he's an expert on this thing. It was like this, Dr. Kale on Upper East Side, who's like been, an expert on parasites and sort of like one of few has his written books on it and has his own techniques and those kinds of things. And he was like, well, this is what you need to do, and here's the prescription. And like turns out you can buy these pills for nothing, for pennies, in Canada and other countries, but in America they're like $150 a pop or something like that per pill. And I was just like, okay, well, the doctor said it. I should have like just not purchased it at that, when I went to the CVS, and he said, are you sure you want these? They're like $1,900. I'm like, well, I guess that's what they cost, right? So I was naive, I was stupid. Instead, you can, there's totally herbs and roots and stuff that you can take that will kill these parasites. You don't need that stuff. And these things have been around for thousands of years, and we know about this stuff. But of course, there's no money in it. So big pharma is not interested, right? Which means, hospitals and that whole healthcare apparatus is not interested. Like really, I mean, get the depth of this, right? Big pharma, the healthcare industry is probably, I haven't studied numbers on this, but it seems just from watching TV, it seems like they're by far the biggest advertiser on television, right? Chances are, which means that all of the TV stations are basically in the bag for big pharma, right? They're not really gonna go after them, right? I'm sure they're heavy advertisers on, Facebook and Google as well. So let's just say that they're probably compromised by big pharma as well, right? And what does big pharma need? Well, it needs us to be sick, and even to the point of making up diseases, so that they can sell us drugs for them. Think COVID. I'm not saying COVID isn't real. There is a virus there, and people are getting sick, and some people die. But, most people are going to be fine, right? 99 point something percent survivability rate. Basically, only super old people or people with serious comorbidities die from this thing. Yet they want all of us vaccinated. How much is that going to cost, right? Who's going to pay that? Who's going to profit from that, right? A lot of people are going to profit from that. Like big pharma is going to profit dramatically from this, right? Makes major fucking windfall for big pharma on this. And by keeping everybody super scared of something that's not that dangerous, they get to profit. They get their payday, right? And by keeping like focusing on cases of on all the people who died with COVID versus actually died of COVID. And you saw the CDC number saying like basically only 6% were like raw COVID deaths. It's like all of that goes to big pharma profiting. And so it's really fascinating when you get just how big this is. Just how insane this is that like they want us to be sick, they want us to be scared, they want us to be dependent on them for survival, right? Diabetes, fantastic, like great subscription revenue, right? Any kind of chronic disease, great stuff for them. And yet there's so much natural healing. The body naturally knows how to heal when we help it, when we support it, when we give it the good things that it needs to sustain itself and don't give it the toxic stuff that is harming it. The body has a natural self-healing built in. It really does. It's incredible. It's insane. It's really wild what the body's able to do, but we don't study that. We're not interested in that as a society because there's no profit in it. I'm obsessed with gut bacteria lately, right? Your gut biome, the bacteria in your gut, What happens in your gut is so important for every area of your health. It impacts everything. It impacts your mood, your energy. It impacts health in all kinds of other areas. And so many diseases, autoimmune diseases in particular, come from having a fucked up gut bacteria. Flora, tarm, in what are we, tarm flora is what we call in Danish, like your gut biome, right? So fixing that, super important. Leaky gut is another one that is super widespread, which means that the gut barrier, like do they call it the gut blood barrier? But basically your gut membrane is permeable. There's big holes in it, which means that garbage can get from your food into the bloodstream, which you don't want. You want, that it's designed so that it can suck out just the good stuff, just the things that it needs, and keep all the other stuff inside so that you can eliminate it when you go to the bathroom, when you go to the toilet, when you have bowel movements, when you take a dump, right? You can eliminate all the bad stuff. But if there are holes in your gut membrane, then that stuff can seep into your bloodstream, which you do not want. And yet most people have that. Most people have leaky gut. Most people have a broken gut biome. And it's hard work to restore. It can take years. Once it's damaged, the damage can last years. It can last a lifetime if you don't fix it. It's really hard work. You want to have good bacteria growth, and you want to eliminate bad bacteria growth. It's not easy. It requires dedication. It requires that you take it seriously. There are books on this that I can recommend. One is Eat Dirt, and the other, I forget, I can look it up, but one of them was like, you need to eat. So it's about fiber, essentially. It's about fiber. It's like prebiotic is a, probiotic is good. Soil is good. Good soil, I guess. So we don't eat enough soil these days. So we don't get enough bacteria in there. We live too clean. Like sanitizers, hand sanitizers, garbage. Don't use them. Don't touch that shit. Like Lysol wipes, actually, is like, eliminating germs. Just you can use those, but be super careful. I think I'm actually gonna stop using those. Because why? Like we don't need to. For me, it's just a convenience, like a cloth. It's just, convenient for cleaning stuff up. But I'm not interested in the germ killing of it. That's not what I'm using them for. But I'm still using them. I think I should stop using them, honestly. Yeah, the other guy was talking about. Let me see if I can find the book. But the other guy was talking about fiber fueled. I think good gut, the inside story of our body's most underrated organ. The microbiome diet. These are some of the ones that I've looked at. So there. One of them talks about like eating 30 different kinds of fruits and vegetables each week, right? Different colors, but just 30 different kinds because you want to get all kinds of different fibers. So probiotic is like feeding you good gut bacteria in a pill or however you take it. So that's helpful. Prebiotic is fiber that specifically enables the growth of the good bacteria and ideally doesn't enable growth of the bad bacteria. And just fiber in general is good for I don't know, stool. I think fiber is like the stuff that these bacteria eat. So I'm not an expert on this stuff. I'm just talking about what I've learned so far. Some of the other things that I've learned is probably drop dairy. I love cheese. I love cheese. Supposedly raw cheese, raw milk is a lot better than pasteurized, but still not terribly great. So Parmesan cheese, Parmigiano, the original Parmigiano is made from raw milk. So yay for that. So it's not as bad, but I should probably eliminate all dairy completely. I don't drink milk. I don't use milk in my tea or anything like that. I do almond or usually oat milk, Which, so Oatly actually has vegetable oils, which are not good either. It has some sunflower oil or safflower or something like that. So I would should really avoid that. Canola, all those things are garbage, as I understand it. Pork, apparently, that's a big one for me. I love pork. I love pancetta, guanciale, prosciutto, salsiccia. Like I all love all of those like Italian style pork products. They're just fucking amazing. I love them. Not good. I should probably eliminate that or at least cut down dramatically. What else? Gluten. Gluten's terrible, apparently. That's, you know, what creates those holes in the gut membrane. Can really cause leaky gut. Apparently, I've had a test that shows that I and again, I'm not a details person with this kind of stuff, but I'm lacking the enzymes to break down dairy as well as gluten. So I need to avoid those. I love pasta, but you know what? The other day, I made a ragu and I had it with pasta and like the wheat pasta and the whole thing. And I love it, but then I did a celery root puree. I think it has salsify as well. It's a really cool vegetable that I've discovered recently. It's called the oyster of the soil or something like that, something oyster. Really nice, has a very nice flavor. So I mix it in with celery root and then I puree it. Really nice. So like fry the chunk the celery root and the salsify, saute it in a pan in some duck fat, throw some thyme, maybe some rosemary, salt and pepper in there, and then give it a little bit of browning. And then I add in some white wine, cooking white wine, or I like to use some Dolin Blanc, some sweet, white vermouth. What is it called? No, dry vermouth, it's called, right? But the white version. Anyway, there's like Noix de Poix. Any dry vermouth is fine. In place of wine when cooking, and it's place of white wine. Just it keeps well, and it just adds a little bit of some richness to it. So I like to do that. So just, you know, burn that off a little bit, gives it some flavor, and then maybe some stock. I use Kettle on Fire chicken stock. Again, just to give it some flavor. You actually don't need that if you just let it, you know, sit in its own steam in its own heat with a lid on for like 20, 30 minutes. It's going to be super nice and fine and moist, especially the celery root. Breaks down really nicely. So I'm giving you cooking lessons here, right? I like to add the stock and the wine because it gives it some more flavor. Anyway, the point is, I had this celery root puree, and I had my ragu on top of it, and it was fucking amazing. And I was like, I like this better than pasta. I like this better than pasta. And then I remember that actually I have a favorite place in Copenhagen. It is no more, unfortunately. An Italian guy from Modena moved to Copenhagen with his family because he wanted to get away from Italy, and he opened a little restaurant, La Tigella, near the center of Copenhagen. And unfortunately, he wasn't able to make a run of it. But I befriended him while he was still there, and we talked, and I got to know him, and so he served me ragu on pure, on which is you know, mashed potatoes essentially. So potatoes is also not really great for me because it's just too much starch, too much sugar. But that idea of serving, you know, ragu on top of a root vegetable puree is apparently something that they do, and I just remember that after doing it. It was actually my wife who did that because she takes this stuff more seriously than me. I just love all this food too much. It's hard for me to let go of. But I found that this actually is a lot better. I like it better. It tastes better, and it's better for me. So that's going to be my go-to from now on. I think I'm gonna skip the pasta and just do pureed vegetables instead. So yeah, all this stuff just to say, so avoiding these things, taking your gut bacteria seriously, super important for every aspect of your life. And it's something that we have way too little, you know, awareness of. So when I had the parasite, I also talked, there's a guy, Luis, up in Woodstock, that I got introduced to by a friend of mine. And so I talked to him, and so he gave me some herbs, and he wanted me to eat grain, which I think is probably, as I understand, is not great for me either, just too little nutrition in it for the amount of calories. But he also gave me burdock root, dandelion root, and yellow dock root to consume, to help kill the parasite and to help restore gut bacteria. So I've been doing that for a while. Burdock and yellow dock are laxative, which I don't need. So stop taking them. But there's so much stuff that you can do with herbs and roots and stuff, and it really fucking works. Like, I'm drinking it as tea right now. I'm drinking an ashwagandha and dandelion root tea, and it tastes fantastic. It tastes great. A little bit of coconut almond milk in there, and it tastes just fantastic. So much that you can do on your own, and because the whole society is against this. They don't want us to heal naturally. They want us to be sick so that we can get on prescription drugs on subscription, to maintain it. Yeah, you have to figure this out on your own. You have to study it on your own. You can't trust the official system. So I don't have health insurance because I don't need that system. I don't believe in that system, right? I don't like, if I get cancer, I'll figure out some natural treatment, right? And if I die, I die, right? That's just how that is. I'm not gonna do chemo or radio or radiation therapy or any of that stuff. I just don't believe in it. So I think it harms more than it heals, right? I don't want that life. So that's my approach. Yeah. Anyway, that was a long detour. This is my thoughts from reading about this Twitter thread about this nurse that quit. Like, really start to get your eyes open for what the hell is going on with Big Pharma. It's not good, and it's controlling everything. And this whole, what's going on right now with COVID is just part of that game, and they're playing it very well. They're playing on our fears. Our compliance, they're really training us to be compliant and to do what they want so that they can all profit. It's disgusting, and it's the world that we live in. Welcome to 2021 very soon. All right, see you.